If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John. Reading verse 37, chapter 6, rather, and verse 37. John chapter 6, and verse 37 from our earlier scripture reading. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And if we read verse 39, just as a follow-up to that, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. All that the Father has given the Son, that is our subject this morning, the Father's gift to the Son. The Father's gift to the Son. Well, I'm sure all of you know that we believe in this church that we have a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one Godhead. Well, there is no word Trinity in the scriptures, and many people who oppose the Trinity make a lot about that. But the way that God is revealed to us in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, and most particularly in the New Testament, it is that he is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equally God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the triune Godhead. God who came down from heaven to earth to suffer and to die for our sins. This is the second person of the triune Godhead. And that is very important for us to understand. He came down into this world, but he is God. God with us. That's how the Old Testament prophesied the Lord Jesus Christ. God with us. So he is very God. But when we read from these verses here, that before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he was given something by the Father. He was given something by the Father. A gift. A great gift to the Son. And this gift, what was this gift? It was a people. This was the gift that the Father gave to the Son. A people. Members of the human race. All the members of the human race who would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, God the Father gave him a gift. The people who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Given to the Son. Before he came into the world. In fact, we read in the scriptures that even before the foundation of the world, this gift was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before the world was created, all of the people whom Christ would save was given to him. Well, that's a very profound and deep thought. Even before any of God's people were even born, they were given to the Lord Jesus Christ. A gift, a people, Christ's own people, a people that Christ could call his own forever, all those who would have faith in Christ, a gift given to the Son by the Father. And well, this people is both a large and a small group. It's large in the sense that there is a great multitude of people who will be saved by Christ. A great multitude who will put their faith in him. We read that at the very end of the Bible in the book of Revelation. We read literally those words. A great multitude stand before the Lamb of God, clothed in white robes. A great multitude. So there are many who will be saved. And well, it's very difficult to believe that in this atheistic age, but so many people have put their trust in Christ Even in this age of atheism, there are people being saved. And if you look back through history, well, so many. Well, we read even in the New Testament, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, after Christ ascended up on high, so many people saved through the preaching of the apostles. 3,000 people saved on one day, we read, the day of Pentecost. And well, people from other tribes, other tongues, other nations, even the Romans were saved, some of the Romans. And well, you think all throughout history from that time up to now, think of it. How many places the gospel has gone into, so many countries, all these missionaries going to so many places, preaching the word of God, and people are saved. We've had revivals in many countries, particularly in this country, spiritual awakening, people in their thousands coming to Christ. How many people have read the Bible? How many people have heard the word of truth, seen it to be truth, and yielded their lives to Christ? Millions, must be millions, billions of people even. So in this atheistic age, we forget all about that. We think there are no Christians, never have been, never will be, but they can't erase history. There have been so many. There will be a great multitude of God's people at the end, and nothing that this current age of unbelief can do will change that. A great multitude. But at the same time, it is a small group. It's a large group, and it's also a small group, because compared to the number of people who reject the Lord, it is a small group. Now, there are some preachers who do maintain, and some very, very good, faithful preachers, a very famous preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon, many of you will know him, of course. He believed that there would be more people in heaven than people in hell. But well, when I read the scriptures, I'm not sure I can agree with even a worthy preacher as Charles Spurgeon, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, didn't he, that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, but narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. There is a broad way, the way of the world. Everyone goes into it, they press into it. Naturally, we are inclined to go the broad way, but the narrow way, the way of repentance, the way of Christ, only a few people go in. So it's a large group, but it's also a small group compared to the great numbers who will turn away from God, who will not believe in him, who will remain atheists, and well, they will follow their own path, even to destruction. And this is very sad. But that small number, that large number and that small number, has been given to Christ by the Father. And well, Christ has come down from heaven to claim his people, to claim the people whom God has given him. Or rather, we could put it in this way, to rescue them. He has come down from heaven to earth to rescue the people whom the Father has given him. Because these people, they are in great danger. They are in great danger, and Christ has come to save them, and not one will be lost, because he is a tremendous Savior. But we have to examine what danger exactly are his people in. What danger are his people in? Some people, when you try to speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't want to come to him. They don't see any great need. I've heard, I had a conversation very recently with someone. We ask him to come and to seek the Lord. But they say, well, why do I need to do that? Why? My life is great. I have a good career. I have a good house. I'm in good health. There's no possible reason why I need to come to Christ. How do you answer someone like that? Maybe you've had that question posed to you. Well, the danger that we are all in, it's spiritual danger. Spiritual danger. Our souls are in danger. That is the great danger. That is why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Our souls without the Lord Jesus Christ are heading for an eternity of sorrow and anguish and grief and misery if we don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we die in our sins, well, that will be our lot. That will be our eternity, a lost eternity, separated from God. And well, we're all born separated from God. That's what the Bible teaches. We are all born sinners, opposed to God, rebels against God, rebels against His law. We hear the Ten Commandments, we don't want to keep them. Naturally, we rebel against them. And even God's people, even Christ's people, the people that the Father has given to the Son, they were born sinners too. They're not born saved, they are born sinners. And the evidence is even in this verse. If we look at verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All those who will be saved, they have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not already with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not already in the kingdom of God. They have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're born sinners, just like everybody else. But they've come to Christ and they are saved. They have sought the Lord and they have found him. They've heard the gospel invitation to come and to be saved, and they have sought him with all their heart. They respond in the right way. Well, do we act like that? Do we hear the gospel invitation and we respond? We look to act. We seek him. We desire to know his salvation. This is how the people of God, the people whom the Father has given the Son, this is how they act. They seek and find the Lord. Now, for some people, it may take a long time. We hear many testimonies of people who hear the word of God, but it takes them so long to repent, to have faith. I can even interject some of my own testimony in this. When I was a youngster, I would go to church and I would hear the word of God, but I would never respond to it. It was boring, I thought. I had much better things to do, I thought. I would never respond to it. I remember I was given a Gideon's Bible, and this was brought back to my memory a few days ago. I was given a Gideon's Bible by teachers at our school at the age of 11. The age of 11. But you know how long it took me to read that Bible? To actually open it up and read it properly? About 20 years. I never actually sat down, opened it, and read it. But then when I did read it, then I knew this was the word of truth. Then I truly yielded my life to God. But it took about 20 years. By the way, I'm not recommending that you wait 20 years or 15 years or 10 years. Let me just expand on my testimony and, well, maybe speak to some of you who are younger. Maybe there are people who, like me, thought, well, yes, this Christian thing, that's for Christians, but I'm going to go into the world. I'm going to do all sorts of things. I'm going to go to uni. I'm going to a party. I'm going to do all the things that the world likes to do. Well, if you want to do that, go ahead. Go ahead, and what will you see? You will see what the world is really like. The world is not like how you see it on the TV or how you see it in the movies or in the pop videos. The real world is not like that. The world is unkind. The world is corrupt. The world is sinister. If you want to go into the world, go ahead and you will see nothing but that. Unkindness and misery and sin and sorrow. And not just in the world. You won't see it just in the world. You'll see it in yourself. you'll actually discover how unkind you are, how ungenerous you are, how sinful you are. The person that you think you are, you're not that person. You're a lot worse, and you may end up doing things that you never thought you would do, and you'll regret them for the rest of your life. If you want to reject God, well, go ahead, but there is pain and sorrow ahead for you, and things that you can't easily forget that will maybe haunt you for the rest of your life. And I can say, much to my own shame, there are things that I did in my 20s that haunt me for the rest of my life, that are a great source of regret and pain. So if you want to reject Christ, that's what you've got to look forward to. Nothing else. So you must come, the sooner the better. Some people, on the other hand, think that they are Christians for many years. They go for many years thinking they are actually Christians. I remember Dr. Masters at the Metropolitan Tabernacle saying that when he first went to the tabernacle and started preaching the gospel faithfully and sincerely, one day an old lady came up to him who had been at the tabernacle for many, many years. An old lady came up to him and she said to him, "You know, Pastor, I thought I was all right. I thought I was a Christian all these years. All I thought it was about just being a good person, being a moral, upright person, coming to church, singing the hymns, reading the Bible. But I never really got it. I never really understood about Christ, how he has taken the punishment for my sin on the cross. For my sin, he died for me. I never really understood that bit." So maybe there are some people here who are like that. You think you're Christians, but not for the right reason. Not because of Christ and what he has done. We read that all those who are God's people will come to him, to Christ. Understand what he has done. It's not just a belief in God. It's about who Christ is. Well, if there are any here, well, it's not too late. It's not too late to admit that you have been wrong about the Christian religion and about the Christian faith all your life. It's not too late to come and to truly repent and to trust in Christ. Christ has died for my sin. I never understood that, but now I do. Oh, we must come. The people that the Father has given to the Son will come to him. This is what we read in verse 7. And then the second part of verse 7, well, verse 37, they are such words of comfort to us. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Well, we haven't got long to deal with this particular aspect, but what tremendous words of comfort. Anybody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will in no wise cast out. Do you think that the only reason you can't come to Christ is because he won't accept you? Oh, I could go and become a Christian, but he won't accept me. Oh, this is the temptation of the devil. It's not just foolishness. This is the devil speaking to you. If you think that the Lord Jesus will not accept you, it's the devil saying to you, "Oh, don't go to him. He's holy. Who are you? Look at you and your sin. He won't accept you." That's the devil speaking. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the Bible speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come." He invites us to him. If he invites us, he's not then going to say, "Oh no, I don't want you to come in." We have an invitation. You think of going to a wedding. You have your invitation. You go to the wedding, you have your invitation in your hand. They have to let you in. Of course, you have that invitation. Well, we have this invitation in the Word of God. We can say these words when we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. "You have said in your Word, you will not cast anybody out. I have the invitation. I will come and I will seek you and I will know you." So we must come. Oh, but you don't understand, some people say. I have done wicked things, evil things in my life. I have done things that I can't even tell you, things that I've never told anyone. If I tell people what I've done, they won't like me, they'll hate me, they'll despise me. So if I can't even tell people what I've done, how can I go to God? How will He accept me? That's what some people say. Oh, but have we forgotten what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said that He had come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For sinners. This is why He has died. For sinners. Terrible sinners. You know, the people who are given to the Son by the Father, the people who are given to the Son for His own, do you know who they are? They're liars. They're deceivers. They're fornicators. They're adulterers. They're thieves. They're murderers. But the fact is, they came to Christ and they were washed of every sin. Washed clean by the blood of Christ. As one hymn writer put it, His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. So your sin, whatever it is, come and bring it before Christ, and He will remove it from you. He has died because of sinners, not for righteous men. And well, this is a tremendous comfort. Yes, you may well have sins that the world cannot forgive. But well, this is an unforgiving world. Have you noticed this? A very unforgiving world. You know, you can do a million things right in this world, but if you do one thing wrong, have you noticed that the world doesn't forgive you? It's on your record. Oh, he did that thing wrong. You can do a million things right, but one thing wrong, they'll just discard you. It's an unforgiving world. But with God, it's the opposite. With God, you do one thing right, one thing needful. You come to Christ. You yield your life to Him, and all your other sins are forgotten. It's the other way around. Your sins are blotted out. With the world, oh, they remember everything. You do one thing wrong. But with God, you do one thing right, and all your other sins are forgotten. Why would you stay in an unforgiving world like this and not come to Christ so that you may receive pardon for all your sin? Well, this is such a tremendous verse. And well, I have to draw to conclusion. But let us remember that at the end of time, the names of all those whom the Father has given to the Son will be read out. The names of all of those who are saved, God's chosen, God's elect, as it were. The names will all be read out from the book of life. Well, will your name be there? Will your name be read out? Have you truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sin, knowing that He has died for your sin? Well, there is only one sure way that you can ensure that your name is on that list. Come to Him. That's the way. Just come to Him. Confess your sin, know that He has died for your sin, plead forgiveness, and your name will be on that list. Those people, those blessed few whom the Father has given to the Son, this is the invitation. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy, what a comfort it is to hear this invitation. Lord, we pray that we all, each one, will answer that invitation, will respond, knowing that Thou shalt not cast us out. O Lord, bless us, we pray. Forgive us our every sin. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.